Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2018 Home Education Conference, held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
All right, my name's Rebecca Lurcher. I'm happy and I'm very grateful to be with you today. This information, please don't feel judged or overwhelmed by anything I'm going to present here today. I did give it to a few newbies, and they were kind of overwhelmed. And I wanted to remind them that I've been homeschooling for 16 years, and so every time I had a problem, I would, what do I do now? So I've done a lot of different things just because of the process of trying to homeschool for so long. My plan here is to just try and give you ideas, tools, and some hope. You see that picture? This is a picture of my family. My oldest son got married last summer, so that's a picture there in front of the temple. My husband's in the Air Force. That is why we started homeschooling. Our very first base was in Tacoma, Washington, and I could not send my kids to that school. So we jumped in and started, and we've been doing it ever since. We have 10 children. They are 2 to 22 years old. I've added 6 children since I started homeschooling in 2002, so we've had a lot of new babies. We've homeschooled in 7 different states. I've moved 13 times in that time period, and we're on our 3rd deployment. I'm only telling you this to point out that homeschooling has not always gone as I had hoped it would. I feel like it's always kind of been, why am I still doing this, Lord? I feel like I'm not doing a very good job. Despite the difficulties, I love what homeschooling has done for our family. We have more unity, more love, more testimony than I could have ever imagined. And I'm so thrilled that I've been able to create the kind of family that I envisioned in my mind. It's also changed me as a person. I'm a completely different person today than I was 20 years ago, and I'm so grateful for that. All right. Okay, are you called to homeschool? Not everybody is. I've had some friends pray about it, and the answer is no. But those of us who have a yes answer, you know you're supposed to do it. But then we have to actually face the doing it, and it's hard because we have to make a lot of changes in our life to be successful. At the beginning of my journey, I was given a scripture, which is D&C 64:33. Wherefore, be not weary in well-doing, for ye are laying the foundation of a great work, and out of small things proceedeth that which is great. There's nothing smaller than those daily efforts with your little ones, teaching them every single day. Now, you don't have to homeschool just like everyone else to find success. All right, our adventure in homeschool will thrive or dive based on these two principles. Obedience and discipline. Are the monkeys running the zoo at your house? If they are, you will want to give up. And also managing the house. And by that I mean cleaning, you know, meals, all that kind of work that we do as a mom. If you don't figure out these two things, at least how to manage them in a way that you're happy with, I guarantee you will have feelings like this. I can't do this. If they were in school all day, I could keep up. Or it's just too hard. Those thoughts will run through your mind all the time. Like other things, our thoughts begin to create our reality, and then we start to see only the downsides of homeschooling. We miss the small rays of success that we have. Okay. Key to feeling successful at home when you're trying to manage the housework at the same time. You need a plan. Any kind of plan. A plan that works for you, a plan that matches your personality. And you also need helpers. Fortunately, even very young children can be taught to work. And most of us don't have 10 kindergartners at once. I did hear there's a lady down the hall who has 10 kindergartners who are giving a lecture, but I think it's later in the day. I have come to feel that teaching my children to happily help me at home and serve the family is probably one of the most important things I'm actually doing in my homeschool. It's not about the academics as much as teaching them to serve each other. Of course, the other is gaining their testimony. The law of the harvest applies here. Unfortunately, we are not planting wheat where we will see it in a few months. We are planting fruit trees, and they're the slow-bearing fruit trees. Okay, that's what homeschooling is like, and teaching them to clean. So you're putting in the little tree, you're not going to see fruit for several years. As an example of this, I didn't have my kids clean because I like to clean house and it was a lot easier for me to do it, but my fifth kid just about sunk me. And I was sitting with my sister-in-law one day and I noticed she told her 9-year-old to go do something and she jumped up and went and did it happily, and I thought, I got to have that. I don't know what it is or how she did it, but I've got to do it. And that's what I did. I started a slow process of teaching my children to clean. And yes, of course, it was more work than me doing it myself. But as I mentioned, when that fifth kid, I just couldn't do it anymore. It took about 2 years from their doing nothing until they were helping me on a regular basis. And there wasn't screaming and crying. And everyone was fairly happy about it. So it was not a short process. Okay, overview of material. First, I'll quickly discuss why it's important to teach our children to clean, then what are some things to think about or consider when you're making your plan, and then how to make a plan. All right, the why. A lot of us know these. The first is stewardship. This is an eternal principle. This is the first commandment given to Adam and Eve in the garden. Dress and keep the garden. Also, learning to be more like God. This means learning to take care of our stuff. And I have some scriptures on stewardship on page 2, if you'd like to review those later. So we're actually teaching our children to be more like God as we teach them stewardship over our home. Another important one here is obedience. Children who learn to obey the parents they can see are much better prepared to obey parents they can't see. Household chores are a wonderful laboratory for teaching our children this important principle. Basic character traits are learned through starting and completing a job. Responsibility, diligence, perseverance, and thoroughness are all important things that they learn through learning to help at home. Idleness. Children who homeschool, especially in the lower elementary grades, they are going to have more leisure time at home than if they went to school. A few minutes out of their day will make a world of difference for you. And, you know, think about 30 to 60 minutes is not a lot of time out of their schedule, but it's a huge benefit to you, even if they're only doing it at half speed, which they will, especially in the beginning. All right. Obviously, having a cleaner, more orderly home, that's just one of the many benefits. Hospitality. I like to have people over. As she mentioned, I had a co-op in my home this year. I had a co-op in my home last year. I love to teach classes in my home. I can't do that if it looks like a tornado went through it. Also, having missionaries over or non-members, all these things really can't be done if you're uncomfortable with having people in your home. Mom, as a manager, we all have amazing gifts and talents that the Lord is going to need us to use as our children grow. If we're doing all the work, we can't do those things. Anyone can scrub a toilet, but not everyone can present a class or teach a Relief Society lesson. So we need to move from a position of just nurturing and caretaking to managing and letting the kids help us do those things so we can use our gifts and talents. All right. The family can actually homeschool if everyone's happy and they're able to keep up. Mini farm, is this a dream or a nightmare? If you do not learn to keep your house up in the city, you're going to move out to the country and you're going to have an additional workload and is not going to be happy time for everybody. All right, so learning to work at home is a great preparation for being able to have that mini farm. All right, improve family relationships. I found when the kids work in teams or they work with dad or they work with me, we have a lot of fun together and it's just another way to spend time together. Personal habits, you do not want your child to be that college roommate or mission companion that your kids write home about. Learning to keep up your space and do basic things like that is going to help them in their, that will help them in the world as they move forward. All right, increased confidence. Learning to do things in the home will offer genuine self-esteem. My efforts really matter instead of pretend self-esteem. An example I have about that. My husband, his last deployment, I had just had my 8th baby. Baby was 2 months old, and I lived on an Air Force base. I had no drivers, because my oldest was 15. I had no help. No one could help me get to seminary. No one could help me get to Mutual, because no one could get on the base. That was a hard time for me. 6 months, seminary drive, new baby. my older kids really had to step up, my three older children, and I felt kind of guilty at first because there was a lot on them. They were having to do meal prep and, you know, watch the kid while the baby while I drove people places. And what I found over a period of time is they were happier and they were more confident. And my 11-year-old at that time learned to cook, and she loved it. She loved to help me cook. She was such a blessing to me the last few years because she can go into the kitchen and she can put a meal on for 10 and no problem. She's got it. And it's because of that experience of helping me while my husband was gone. So anyway, they had increase in confidence and happiness in really helping me. All right, and then for the truly hardcore, if you want to have more children, it's a lot easier to do when your other kids can help you. When I had three small little ones, I was really overwhelmed. By the way, when I got married, I couldn't cook or clean. So this has all been I didn't know what kid babies got up in the middle of the night. This has all been a shock to me. it is funny. Anyway, my husband gave me this blessing. In the blessing, he said, your children you have now will bless you and serve you in the days for the more children who come. And my first thought was, children? I'm having more than four? Maybe he said that on accident. And then my second thought was, I couldn't even imagine that these small ankle-biting people would be helpful to me at some point. And yet, that's exactly what happened. They have been such a blessing to me. And without their help, we couldn't have had such a big family. And I'm so grateful, and they are too. All my kids want 10 kids. I don't know that I'll end up with 100 grandkids, but maybe. All right, next page. All right, how it helps them in the future, a lot of this is, you know, pretty obvious. Positive personal habits are going to help everything they do. Future employers. My husband, as I mentioned, is in the Air Force, and he's an attorney, so he's always surprised that people go to the effort of a bachelor's degree and a law degree, and they complain about their workload. But he has some coworkers who are like that. And you know what? That does not help you advance in any field. You need to learn how to work. A great preparation for marriage and parenthood. I always kind of smile to myself when I call my son and hear that he's doing the dishes. I'm grateful that I was able to prepare a wonderful young man to serve his family someday. Slothful and sluggard in the scriptures. Mentioned many times and never in a positive way. The scriptures make it quite clear. This is actually a major character flaw. I think our society kind of makes a joke about it. You know, the kid living in the basement, ha ha ha. It's not funny. I mean, their lives can be ruined if they don't figure this out. Some examples from the work of our leaders. President Uchtdorf, he gave a talk in General Conference a few years ago where he talked about how he had to ride his bike full of laundry up the cobblestone street, how much work that was, and how it blessed him. I thought that was a wonderful talk. He was very young. He was only about 12 when he was doing that, how it blessed his life. And President Monson, this last summer, my family and I, on our road trip, we listened to the autobiography of President Monson, and I was surprised to learn that he had to start working from the age of 12 in his father's print shop. And he worked for hours every day after school. But he was also gifted athletically. They mentioned that as well. And I thought, what kind of world does the teenager not get to play sports? I mean, that would be almost considered abusive today for the teenager to not fulfill their destiny as a basketball player. And yet he worked every day after school his entire high school career and middle school or junior high at that time. But he didn't have a chance to play sports because he was always working. And I think we can see that that wasn't necessarily a bad thing. Okay, our family milks the cow. We moved here from Tucson, Arizona. Our family had an opportunity to milk a cow. Now, the cow was very inconvenient. It was 25 minutes away. So we were excited to get raw organic milk for a cheap price, but could we add that to our schedule? My husband and I prayed about it, and we both felt like we should do it. And at first, I thought it was because of the raw organic milk. But I saw after a few months that's not what it was about. Because in addition to the milking, we had to feed and muck the stalls. And my two boys, who were 12 and 10 at the time, they complained a lot about having to do this. But you know what? After a couple months, they became happy. And they enjoyed doing it. In fact, I overheard them bragging at church that how many cow pies they had scraped that day. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, I had 10 cow pies this morning. They loved it. But it took some time. Anyway, I began to see that was why we were supposed to milk the cow, not just for the milk. So kind of interesting. All right, what to consider when you're trying to make your plan? your house cleaning plan. Schedules and plans are actually freeing, even if you are a spontaneous person, and I'm kind of in that category. I don't like to be tied down. But a plan. You need to make a plan that works with your personality and your energy. Can you think of anything that runs well without a plan? Ward Christmas party. Have we been to one of those, ladies? Primary, a wedding reception, homeschool co-op. None of these things can work well without a good plan in place. Our family is not any different. We need a basic plan that keeps us going and helps us keep the house up. You already have a system at home. Is it working? I don't know. Need to look at it and see. All right, the first thing to consider is you have to be home sometimes. You can't do everything. It's not possible to have a husband who travels frequently, do the early morning seminary run, expend excessive amounts of time exercising, hold a demanding calling, or being the spouse to someone who has one, attend multiple medical appointments, have a child or more than one with a disability, soak your grains and make sourdough bread, make kefir, be dairy and gluten-free, scrapbook, hold a part-time job, have a mini farm, do 4-H, sell essential oils or books or makeup or comfortable leggings, shuttle kids to endless rounds of sports, be involved in community choir and orchestra, keep up a large yard and garden, bear a large posterity, have expensive and time-consuming hobbies, or host a constant stream of house guests, and take care of your parents and grandparents. This is not possible. It's not possible. And you have to be home sometimes to keep things up. I know this really shouldn't be a revelation, but last year's we were getting ready to move, and I was planning a wedding, and we were getting our house ready to rent. I just prayed, and I'm like, I can't do everything. How do I balance everything? And the Spirit said, you're not supposed to. Life was not set up for you to be able to get everything done. It's set up for you to make choices. So if it's important for you to have a house that you're comfortable in and your kids are learning to clean, you're going to have to stay home part of the time. All right. Home responsibilities become unmanageable when no one's identified what to do, no one but mom knows how to do anything, and time hasn't been set aside to do it. All right, our culture actually has some different views on housekeeping, and that includes our church as well as our American culture. Is your vision clouded with the tradition of your fathers? And there could be more here too, just a few I identified. First, house must be perfect. Everyone thinks everyone else's house is perfect. I went to visit a friend once, and she was giving me something, and she apologized for how messy her children's closets were. And she had a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and 1-year-old twins. And I was like, I can't believe your kids are alive, much less that you even know where this thing is in your closet. I mean, but why did she have that feeling that it wasn't enough? She hadn't done enough. That's not okay. Our houses, sometimes we even get this in our media. I was not able to find this picture, which makes me wonder if it was removed, but a year or two in the inside, there was an article on eating well, and which I read because I have a problem with that. And there was a picture of an already slender woman sitting at a granite countertop, which shined and gleamed, and behind her there was a beautiful clean house, and there were can lights above her, and she was eating a large salad of mixed greens. There were no toys, there was no mess, there weren't crumbs on the counter, and I realized they need to present a nice picture, and yet unconsciously we look at those things and think, oh, I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. I have some pictures here of reality in a minute, so don't worry. Children as slaves. There's the certain kind of mentality, oh, my kids should do everything. No, we need to be with them, working, setting an example, a positive example. They should not be getting up in the night with your babies. I've heard of that happening. You're the mom. You need to take care of them. Childhood is a time of play. I don't even know how to talk about that. It's a bad idea. All right. Mom's attitude. Do you want your children to see you as constantly frazzled, resentful, or overworked? Would your daughters want to be mothers? Or do they just see it as too much work, not fun, don't want to bother? All right, we have a culture of relaxation. Housework is not evil. We are here to work. When we do the bare minimum so we can get to our nightly Netflix binge, we need to examine that and say, are we doing the work necessary at home to keep it up? Oh, here we go. This happened in just a couple hours. I was only gone for a few hours. That's our I don't know what happened. Okay, this is the kitchen after mutual run. Mutual night when you don't have a spouse, you got a baby to put to bed, you just sometimes don't get to the dishes. This is one of my favorites. I took it because it seemed rather artistic. Do you like Tiana, the Polly Pocket? She's kind of had a busy day. All right, laundry. I think that's folded. I can't tell. Anyway, Mom went to the bathroom, I guess. I don't know what happened there. Okay, this is our daily after school, when I school the kids in the kitchen, the little ones. My older kids do all their schoolwork on their own, but I school three kids at the table. That's what it looks like every single day when we're done. And you know what? We have places to put everything. We've put in the baskets. We put it away. But this is reality. This is our life every day. And that's okay. All right. Okay, something to consider. Clutter. Half of our battle, at least, is clutter. When a professional housekeeping service comes into your home, they can do the whole house in just a few hours. Why? They don't have children as employees. They have the right tools, and they're not dealing with clutter, all right? Clutter is we need to learn to manage and control our clutter. That's really at least half of our problem when learning to keep the house up. Okay, Don Aslett has some great books on this if you'd like to learn more. One thing to remember is that the journey of decluttering, this can be very emotional for different reasons, and also sometimes we have to deal with our spouse and having issues with that as well. One of my very best friends was finally able to begin decluttering. She's been married for 20 years. She has not been able to handle the house, and she's always stressed by it. But the reason why is she's had a lot of marriage problems. But when that situation is finally healing and it's in a good place, she said, I went downstairs and I emptied a box. I was finally okay to do that. So if you are not in a place where you have safe and supportive relationships, just be kind to yourself and realize, I can't do this right now. This is not something I can do, but I will get to it. Okay, so be kind to yourself on that. All right, by the way, that is not keeping a clean house, this is not a salvation issue at all. It's just, it makes your life so much easier. So. All right, patience. We have to be patient with our children while we work. They are very distractible. They have no eye for detail. They have very undeveloped characters. And in my experience, and I believe psychology bears this out, most children do not have internal motivation until they are older. So we need to put structures in place to help them learn the things they need to learn and do the things they need to do. And as I said, in my experience, around between 13 to 15 years old, depending on the kid, that internal motivation will kick on and you're no longer rewarding or setting little systems to help them do the good things. Okay, when you're working with kids, have high goals but low expectations. All right, our goal is an adult job as a teenager, but you know, when your five-year-old's doing it, not necessarily going to work out that way. All right, putting your house cleaning plan in place, divine guidance is the key. Christ is full of grace and truth. You know, the scriptures say that over and over, and I never paid attention to it. And then I realized the grace part comes in because he tells us we are enough, we're doing enough, we're okay. But the truth comes in to tell us, you need to step it up. But Christ has both of those things together. And when he gives us revelation, he does it in such a wonderful way to help us want to move forward with hope. All right, learning to keep up the house. This is a process of seek and find. There might not be a perfect system out there that's going to work for you, but you are going to put together one if you keep looking. All right, just like our church, how our church continues to grow and change and grow and change over the years. That's what it's like putting together a housekeeping plan is it's working well for a while, and then you have a baby or you move or, you know, you're suddenly busier. Then we need to change up our system and keep searching for the right answers. All right, I've got some references in the back. These are scriptures that particularly helped me trying to find answers in some of the problems that I've had. So you can look at those later. All right, I call these anti-Reba's principles of housekeeping. These are things that I think apply to all people all the time when it comes to house, all families all the time. All right, clean and unhappy is not better than unclean and happy. If your situation doesn't allow you to do both because of your time or energy, or you have, you know, eight kids under six, then go with it, all right? But if your children have a belligerent attitude or a sense of entitlement, they do not want to help and give you a hard time about it, that is not happy. and you need to reevaluate. This is mama being happy. We don't care if they're happy, right? It's you being happy. Okay. All right. It is always less work to keep it up than to dig it out later. And what made me think of that is my sister, I was talking to her about this, and she homeschools, she has a bunch of small children, and she said, why would I clean the house? They just mess it up again later. She said, it's like it's snowing. I'm just going to wait till it's done snowing, and then I'll scrape the sidewalk. And I'm like, no. Because when you homeschool, it's like a blizzard 24/7 for years, and it never stops. They never go away. And so what you need to do is you need to get out there and scrape the walk every couple hours, because otherwise you're going to end up with, you can't even get to your car. You're going to be stuck in the house all the time. So that snow example is actually, it's very applicable. All right, clutter is your enemy. I just mentioned that. Out-of-control environments influence out-of-control behavior. Have you ever noticed that we keep our churches clutter-free and clean? Our temples, too. Why? That environment affects our spirits. And they'll affect kids at home as well. All right, grandma's rules still apply, everything in its place. Routines and lists will save you mental time and energy. At our house, you can't have electronic anything unless you've worked for it, except for Friday movie night, of course. But so when my boys want to earn that electronic turn, you know, turns, I've got a list of things they can run and do, and I don't have to think about it. You know, it's just right there. Get the list, go look and see what you need to do. Also, if I get on the phone in the afternoon, I love being able to know exactly what to do with my extra time without having to think about it. All right, there is magic time in wasted moments. I read the book Michelle Duggar wrote, and I was amazed. You know who she is, right? Oh, okay. She was able to completely pack her house alone with a huge family in 15 minutes a day. It took her 3 months, but I couldn't believe that she packed her house all by herself 15 minutes a day. And it made me realize, how much time am I wasting during the day? And yeah, there's some pockets there for sure. All right, so one thing I did about this as an example is I really like a clean car. It really bothers me when my car's not clean. So I put paper towels and I put some glass cleaner and I put a little, you know, the little Walmart bags in my car. And if I get 5 minutes, I'm waiting for scouts to get out or whatever, the church, I just jump out and keep it in order. It's just something I've done to try and use some waste of time. All right. This is probably the most important principle for teaching children to work around the house. You have to inspect what they do. You have to inspect what you expect them to do, or it won't happen because they have undeveloped characters. They're just not going to do the thing unless you inspect and follow up and tell them what to do. All right. Let's see. All right. If you're in crisis mode, and I think we've all been there at one time or another, most important, everyone needs to be fed. Keep the dishes up or use paper plates if you need to. And everyone likes clean underwear. All right, the baseboards can wait. The living room can look trashed for months if it needs to. But we have to have food and clean underwear. All right, so in crisis mode, those are the three things to focus on. All right, so what our family has done is over the years, I've used a wide variety of chore charts. I've created them, I've purchased them, and it never worked for us. Why? I couldn't figure it out. And then I realized it was this inspect what you expect principle. I have a lot of kids. So if they all scatter in different directions to go do chores, I can't go check 20 different chores every day. It's not going to happen. I have a baby to nurse, right? So that's when we moved from sending them off to do the chores. Now we all work together. I call it cleaning time. Some people call it family work. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. And what I found over time, that is the children are trained with me, then they can go out and actually do the work without me. I just say, go do X, and they go do it because I've trained them how to do it. So an example of this is we do it in a couple different ways. Sometimes we'll all come together and we'll go from room to room to room. And I'm like, okay, you do the glass, you pick up the shoes, you do the dirty clothes, and we're in a bedroom. And we're all working together. Then we'll go to the next person's bedroom and the next person's bedroom. But if the bedrooms are done and we're just doing the general house, then I'm in the room with them and I'm guiding them and telling them what to do. And if they don't do it right or fast enough, then I'm right there too. Okay, you know, get on the ball. Anyway, that's what we call it cleaning time. We all work together. And now we are at the point that my older children, 11 and up, can go and do things with no problem. And I can leave a list on the board of things to get done if I have to leave the house, and I know it will get done. Okay, how I do this. I mentioned that a little bit just now, but How I create my cleaning chore list, and again, do it in a way that works for you, but this is how I do it. When I move to a new house, which I seem to do frequently, I walk through every area of the home with a clipboard and a piece of paper, and I write down every chore that I see needs to be done in that area, how often it should be done, and how long I expect it to take. And I usually pad that a little bit because, you know, kids. And I try to keep it very realistic. All right, if this is the first time you've ever done it, and especially if you're organizationally challenged, it would be helpful to have a friend do it with you, or even your husband. I know my husband, although he doesn't do a lot of the cleaning at home because he's not home very often, but he has offered a lot of helpful suggestions over time. So have a friend do it with you. It sounds kind of fun. And by the way, it gets easier every time you do this. Make sure it's feasible. The first time I did this, my chore list was 6 hours a day, depending on the day, 5 to 6 hours a day. And obviously that wasn't feasible. I was hoping it would be, but I think it lasted like 2 days. So don't give yourself too much, all right? Just make sure that whatever you come up with, it is achievable. And don't worry about missing a few jobs here and there. You can always add more to your list later. All right. Then after you've made that list of jobs, prioritize them 1, 2, 3. Number one priority chores are those that need to be done on a daily basis for family maintenance. So think trash, maybe a bathroom wipe down. Think germs and dirt, all right? Dishes, obviously the kitchen. You know, you don't want people to catch illnesses, so keeping the kitchen up is going to be important. Number two are nice jobs, and they make your life a lot easier, but not necessary for daily life. So maybe organizing the kids' clothes and bedrooms, vacuuming more than once a week, keeping your microwave clean, you know, stuff like that. Then three can be done if time and manpower allow. So dusting baseboards, mini blinds, cleaning out your oven, you know, stuff that no one notices and you don't care all that much about. And an example of this. Please keep in mind hygiene, odor, and is it unsightly? And I have a couple examples. So hygiene, I just mentioned the kitchen. Obviously, you know, you've got to keep your kitchen up. It's a safety issue. Odor. No one is going to lick behind the toilet, so they're not going to get sick from it. But if you have a little boy, you're going to want to clean behind that toilet, or it's going to, you know, have an odor. If you don't have any boys, I'll tell you, there's an odor. You want to keep it clean. Okay, and then unsightly. You cannot clean your storm door for years. And you're going to pick anything up from the door that you wouldn't get at the Walmart shopping cart, right? But every person who enters your house is going to go, oh, look, no one's cleaned the door in 5 years. Okay, this is something that's super easy to do. A three-year-old can do it. They love it. They'll waste half a bottle of Windex, and they'll just be so happy. So that's an unsightly item. Doesn't really matter, doesn't cause an odor, isn't a hygiene problem, but it's unsightly. So that's something that, some things are going to fall into that category. All right, this is an example of our current chore list. So when I figured out how long it takes to do each thing, I tried to balance it out on our busy days. So like Monday was our co-op day all year, so I didn't put a lot on that day. And I didn't have the lower half of this, but we kind of declutter a bedroom every day of the week as well. So Monday, those jobs are pretty easy. And for example, like mop my wood floors, I've got 29 kids in our co-op that came in every day. So every afternoon, I would just make sure I mopped that floor because, you know, that's a lot of kids to come in and out. And then I just organized in a way that was convenient to my schedule. And I should mention at this point, there was a time when we did all our family work at once, and it was frustrating to me because it was taking like an hour, and even though we were all working, and we weren't starting our schoolwork till 10:30 in the morning because we do a devotional, you know, we have a hot breakfast, and it was just taking a long time. And I said to my husband, I'm so frustrated. I wish we could, and we couldn't get up earlier because of seminary. And he said, well, why don't you split it up? Why? I had never thought of that. I have no idea. But so we do all our daily maintenance at night. So we wake up to a clean house. Everything's picked up. When we wake up, then we do our deep cleaning chores. Even though the house is picked up, that's when we do the deep cleaning stuff. And it really only takes us 20 minutes. What I've tried to do is do like a 20-minute limit. I've got a list I'll show here. So on the other list, I had like bi-monthly or monthly. I've got these, so we just do however time allows. If we're busy that day, we only have 10 minutes, fine. If we have a longer day, 30 minutes or 40 minutes, then we do that. This is also the list that I come from when the kids want an electronic turn. All right, here's some tips and hints for success. All right, a good morning starts the night before. Some things to think about. Will you be doing laundry? And who will be doing laundry? I didn't mention before, but on the divine guidance part of it, when I had kid number 7, again, I was drowning. We had a system, but it wasn't, I was suddenly, you know, it's just the new baby thing. My husband started traveling a lot. I prayed for help. I said, Lord, what do I do? And he said, have the kids do their own laundry. I'm like, oh, why didn't I think of that? And sure enough, so I asked all the older kids to start doing their own laundry, and my burden felt so much lighter. So it's interesting to see that we can be given ideas of things to do to make our load easier, and it's actually good for our kids as well. Anyway, so who will be doing laundry? That's a good thing to check. Make sure that you don't have a kid out there in your house if they do their own laundry who doesn't have clean underwear, if you had planned to do laundry. All right, is your kitchen clean? What's for breakfast? What will you wear? Are your family areas straightened? Some families like to do jobs at certain meal times. Like every time you're already gathering, do a certain set of jobs. That seems to work really well with some families. By the way, my tips and hints, some are from me and some are from other people. I actually interviewed some other people before I planned this presentation. Let's see. Oh, another thing to consider, you do not have to clean one room all the way in one day. This was kind of a revelation for me. So I always thought, oh, I had to deep clean a bathroom. Well, it takes a while, right? But then we got to where we split it up. So one day we did the sink and counters, and then the next day we did the toilet, and then the next day we did the tub, and then the next day you did the floor. And that bothered me that it wasn't like all clean all the time. But I found the room looked better and stayed cleaner when we did it that way, and it was so much faster. I mean, you can do almost all of those things except the tub in just under 5 minutes. But it just made it easier that, like I said, in the bathroom example, it stayed cleaner all the time. It looked like we were always keeping our bathroom clean. We weren't. It was just a few minutes a day. So that is an important thing. Right tools are essential. I have really tried to, they don't have to be expensive either, but, you know, have a working vacuum. That's important. You have a job as a home manager. You should have the right tools for that job. And I've also tried to get some tools that work for kids. So Amazon, for example, they sell a small little suck vacuum. It costs $20. And my 3-year-old can vacuum because it's really light and there's no beater bar, and it actually works pretty well. And why not? Why not have tools like that that work for you? I also have a handheld vacuum that works great on stairs. And again, small children can do that, and I don't have to worry about stairs, which is great. Okay, some other ideas. Systems for catching and holding clutter. This will also help relationships if you're married to someone who is cluttery, or if it's you. I don't know. For example, in our home, my husband is has a harder time with the clutter, but it used to really bother me, and then I just bought this beautiful, attractive basket, sits on his dresser, and you know, it all goes in there, and everybody's happy. Another idea is if you have more than one older child, is assign one older kid to entertain the little ones, and then the rest of you work, and then we switch. So like for 10 minutes, they're entertaining everybody, and then they switch out, and they think that's fun. So if you do have a household of little ones, you know, consider doing that to help you get more done when it is cleaning time. Teamwork. For some reason that I don't understand, my kids love to work in teams, but not all the time. Like once or twice a week, I will assign our family work and I'll send them off in a team, and they just love it. Well, what a great way to mix things up and make it more fun. Frozen kid. Oh, let me talk about what you wear. Now, not everybody's like this. And I understand that. I've heard people say, I don't get dressed and I feel great. That's fine. But maybe you're not like that. I need to be dressed and feel good about the day to feel like I'm going to get some things done. And the kids, too. You know, I have a few kids who would love to wear pajamas all day, every single day. But I don't let them because I know it will affect how they act. So just something to keep in mind. Frozen kid syndrome. Of course those kids are going to get overwhelmed. They step into a bedroom that looks like a bomb went off. They don't know what to do. So one way I overcome this is I break it down to little pieces. And after a couple of years of training, they can go in and take care of a room that looks like the blizzard came, and they can do it because I've taught them over time. First do the shoes, Now make your bed. Now take care of your dirty clothes. See how this is coming? Just one thing at a time, one thing at a time. And by teaching them that, they are able to overcome the overwhelm of such a big mess. Okay, is my space functional? If you have something in your home that's not working, it helps to bring in a friend or a fresh view, different set of eyes to help you see how to make it work. And an example is, I was having problems with our church shirts because I would wash the shirt, dry the shirt, and then I would fold the shirt and put it in the kids' laundry basket, and then it would end up on the floor because they're boys. And I guess I hadn't taught them well enough. Anyway, I finally started keeping all the church shirts in the laundry room, but I didn't have a good place for them. And my college daughter came home at Christmas time, and I said, can you help me solve this problem? And she solved it in like 5 minutes. And now I have a system that works for me. Yay! But I needed another set of eyes in there to help me. Cleaning class. We've done this several times. It's so fun. I usually do it before I have a new baby, and we'll be doing it this summer for sure. Learn about the washing machine, how it works. The whole family comes in, we practice, we try it, and then I'll leave a card up there to give them exact instructions. How to work the vacuum. The kids think it's great fun to gather everybody together, how you unplug, you know, don't roll over the cord, how you clear clogs, just all the things that you know as an adult about how to work a piece of machinery. They love learning how things work and feeling confident in that. Okay, still more. I really hate to unload the dishwasher. I don't know why. It's just something I really dislike. But I timed myself, and it only took 4 minutes. So now when I'm faced with that task, I'm like, okay, I can do this. It's only a couple of minutes. So if there's a chore you don't like or your kids don't like, sometimes if you face the 12 loads of laundry that need to be folded, we're like, okay, guys, can we do this in under 20 minutes? And it, you know, just timing makes it so fun, especially if you have boys. Most boys really love competition and racing themselves. I don't know why. Okay, zones. Some families do zones, and it really works for them. I think you have to have mostly older kids to make that work, but I've heard that some people are very successful at that. Don't forget safety in everything you do as well. All right. Okay, positive role models for you. I think it's important, if you're trying to change yourself and be better, surround yourself with positive role models who are going to inspire you and help you want to be better. There seems to be a culture among stay-at-home moms, I don't see it a lot in homeschool moms, but where we whine and complain about all the work we have to do, and oh, those kids, they're home from school again today, and this housework, my husband's never here, you know. That doesn't build you up. That doesn't help you solve your problems. Make sure you surround yourself with people who are going to give you ideas and positive growth. Okay, a few of my little tips. Here are just a couple of things I found that make my life easier. The internet is full of ideas for you, so I only gave a few things, but just get you thinking. All right, laundry room. I've used this sorter for years. This is now because most of my kids do their own laundry. This is just for mine, but this is, if you don't have one of these, oh, you should have one. They're just wonderful, and they make great carts for toddlers as well to ride around. So that's my laundry store. I've had it for 10 years. And then my husband said, are you really going to put that slide up with those clothes? I'm like, yes, I am, because I will. This is our laundry shelf. I've put it in every single house we've lived in. In fact, I've looked at houses to rent, and I've said, no, there's no room for my shelf. Okay, this is how important this is for my life. So it can work as an air dryer. And then up in the corner is how I solved the church shirt problem. You can see the kids have been, all right, using it for, I have a teenager assigned to iron shirts every week anyway, so it doesn't matter that they're, you know, a little scummed up. But so our church shirts go up there, and then everyone has a basket. It's also a great place to put clutter. I have a child who puts she likes to wear hairbands, and she leaves it, her hairband, in probably twice a day I find a hairband somewhere in the house, which drives me nuts, but at least I have somewhere to put it, right? So it doesn't bother me too much now. Okay, dots on clothes. I was at a point, as I said, most of my kids do their laundry now, but a few years ago, I was frustrated that the kids kept putting all the clothes in the wrong baskets, and I didn't know how to solve the problem. I was the only one who knew who wore what clothes, so I had kids about the same size. And then I started dotting them, and it didn't take that long. I mean, you weed through the clothes every 6 months anyway to change seasons. So for my girl, it's just an idea. My girls have pink, and every time I hand it down, I just add one more dot of puff paint. And the other thing is, if you have multi-gender, like they can switch genders later, like a certain T-shirt or the longer shorts, you know, also work for girls. It peels off, so you can, or dot over the top of it. And my boys are yellow. So here is my third boy. Those are his clothes. And then second girl. All right, I only use white linens, except on my bed, because I won't throw up on my bed. I only use white linens for sheets and towels because I can bleach them. And it makes my life easier. And I don't have to remember, my towels don't smell, and I don't have to remember which towels go in which bathrooms. It just makes it all easier. And then over here I have my pool towels, or you know the towels you use when someone's sick or the toilet overflows. Anyway, so they're nice because they graduate to new status later. All right, I store my bed linens like this. Sometimes I live in places where I don't have a lot of closet space, and I just found if I save these bags and then I can label them. And again, I didn't straighten those for you. That's just how they're stored right now. But they can be stored vertically. And then if I have a sheet set, someone's coming over, I just pull it off. It's just all right there. So that's something that I found works for me. All right, cleaning tool belt. You can buy these fairly inexpensively. This is my six-year-old, and he loves his, all the kids actually love the tool belt. It just clips right on. They can keep their clean rags over here. And once they're done, the dirty rag here, and they've got the wood cleaner or duster, and he's got his a general cleaner there, I think, a wood cleaner, and then he's got his glass cleaner on that side. They think it's so fun to wear these and go around the house. And anyway, just a fun idea. I got that from the Speed Cleaning book by Jeff Campbell that is also listed in there. It really does speed up you as well if you have to go from room to room. Okay, question one. I have a big cleaning project to do, and I've got a house full of kids. What can I do? Help. All right, this is something that I've done. Your small children need to be kept safe, happy, and busy. Clear your schedule. You cannot do a big job if people from church keep calling you and asking you to do things. So if you really have an important job you need to get done, you can't do extra things outside the house. Meals plan, make them easy, paper plates. What I have done that seems to really work is we set a timer for 20 to 30 minutes, depending on how old the kids are. And I'll put one kid with the little ones, keeping them safe and happy and interacting with them. And then the other ones are working with me. And if we're still supposed to be in school, I can still do that as well. Because then every 20, 30 minutes, go do your language arts. Go do your math. And then in 20 minutes, the timer goes off, and then they're doing a new task. So that's something that's worked for me. Another idea is you can get a couple of like-minded friends. And one person can watch all the kids. And then the other two women attack whatever the project is, and then you can switch. So, just some ideas. Question two. How do I get that uncooperative kid to help? Or kids? All right, so here are some ideas that I've used. Consider their gender and their personality. If you have not read the book Why Gender Matters by Dr. Leonard Sachs, I highly recommend it. Boys and girls are actually designed very differently. Their brains are completely different. And understanding how different they are will help you interact with your children in a better way. Another example, you may have heard of the book The Child Whisperer. I actually prefer Personality Plus by Florence Littauer. I feel like it's more useful. But it's the same principle. Understanding your child and what they're like will help you figure out how to help them learn to be a good helper at home. For an example, I have a child who is very slow. He's a 4-2. So if you know what that is in the child whisper, he just moves through life very slowly. So he's willing to make breakfast. In fact, he makes breakfast in the morning while I'm doing this seminary run. He's 13. So next year, the 11-year-old will start making breakfast. So my 13-year-old, he just does everything slowly. So it takes him an hour and a half to make a pot of oatmeal. I know. She's going to be like, really? Yes. But that's okay. I think Becca knows that. Okay. All right. Sorry. That was funny. Okay. Make sure your attitude isn't bleeding through. If you have a bad attitude toward your work and, oh, I can't believe I have to do this work and I have this house full of kids, they are going to feel that and sense that. Try to get in a good place yourself so you can positively share with your children. And this comes into give them the why. They are not too young to understand the why we keep the house up. And it takes a long time to sink in. I've been telling my kids for years, we try to keep our bedrooms orderly because this is where you do a lot of your schoolwork for my older kids. You cannot learn as well in a cluttery environment. And it took, 5, 6 years. But eventually my teens are like, yeah, I need to keep a clean room. And why, by the time they're older, yeah, they always keep a clean room because that's where they do their schoolwork. And I've taught them the why. They understand it. They've practiced it. And they know it's true. So they put it into their own lives. And I love it when I hear them teach their siblings. Okay. Use gentle persuasion. Would you want to work for an employer who's always mad and angry at you? No, of course not. Don't be that person to your kid either. All right. All right, a check for you. Have you taught them correctly how to do the job? Have you supervised to check for understanding? Have you inspected their work regularly, and do they have the right tools? Have you ever heard this one? Oh, Mom, I couldn't clean the bathroom because we're out of Comet. Well, there's more Comet downstairs. Oh, I didn't. In fact, we actually put check cleaning supplies on our cleaning schedule because it's a fun job, but that way they're always supplied and I never have to hear that excuse. That's just how kids think. So if you can figure out a way to include Dad, one reason why it was great to split up our cleaning schedules because Dad, when he was home in the evening, kids love working with their dads, and of course they're setting a great example for them. So if you can include Dad, that will help with the uncooperative attitude, especially with your boys. All right, now consequences. Yes, we have to get to that. I have this kid, and I chose some special pictures of him. You know this kind of kid? He's a 3-1. He came out of the womb uncooperative in every way. In fact, if I could have sold him on eBay when he was 2 months old, I might have done it. He was my hardest kid. He's number 6. I used to joke, it's a good thing he wasn't number 1, because I don't think I would have had any more. He refused to pray. He refused to sing. And understand, we have a devotional every day, and have for years. We sing twice a day as a family. He would not sing. It's not like there wasn't exposure or teaching here. He wouldn't, as I said, he wouldn't pray, he wouldn't sing, he didn't want to get baptized. Finally, at 8 and a half, I'm like, fine, whatever, you don't have to get baptized. At 8 and a half, he finally, okay, I'll get baptized. But helping around the house, oh my goodness, it was pulling teeth. So, he was my most uncooperative child. So what I would do when he wouldn't clean during family cleaning time, I'd say, that's okay. You can go sit in the laundry room. I tried to pick somewhere that was, he would not tie something negative. And the bedroom, of course, won't work because you can play in there. So it had to be boring, had to be safe, but it had to be well lit, you know, not unpleasant environment. That is what I do for a child who won't help. During cleaning time, I just, oh, I guess you can't clean with us. And we turn on fun music and we're having fun. And eventually they will come out. He didn't always, though. It took about 6 years. He started cleaning. It took 5 years. We started cleaning with him when he was 4, and he slowly got better and slowly got better. Today, he's almost 12, and he is the best kid. He will sing. He will pray. Don't worry about that part. And this is just a picture of him. He happily cleans for me all the time, but it was a long time of this, but it was just me trying to be gentle, but firm. You know, don't let him get away with it. I didn't do that, but I let him know that this is how we're going to live, and you will eventually cooperate, or you will spend your life in the laundry room. Okay. All right. If you have problems, here are just a few ideas. Do you have an obedience problem? If so, tackle it from the obedience end. Do you have an ability problem? Are they too young? What is the problem that they're having? Is it a training problem? Have you correctly trained them how to do the thing? Do they have the right tools? And have you followed up? That's so important. All right. Do you have poor systems in place? You know, kids can sense that things aren't well organized, and they get frustrated when they're not. Is your space functional? Are you being consistent? That's so important. And is the problem you? I don't know, but the Lord does. And he will answer you if you ask. All right, so that's my son. He got off his mission. I hope you've received some ideas today that will help you. Homeschooling is probably one of the hardest and yet most rewarding things that we will ever do. However, I know it's possible. I know the Lord needs a Zion people. He needs a people with clean hands and pure hearts who are ready to help him as the second coming gets closer. And remember, 1 Nephi 3:7. And I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord has commanded me. For I know the Lord giveth no commandment unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Any questions? We have 3 minutes. Yes. So we work through the list, but if they come to me and say, I want to do whatever, then I either turn to our list and just give them things to do, or you know how during the day things need to be done. Then I have a list, so maybe the dishwasher needs to be unloaded, or we made a mess at kitchen, and those things. So we would normally sweep the kitchen at night after dinner anyway, but since they're coming to me and their schoolwork's done and they're wanting to do something, I'm like, yeah, go on and sweep and mop the kitchen. So
you give them an extra job.
Yes. They're earning screen time with extra chores.
That's just a way of earning screen time.
You have to do extra. Well, sometimes they want money, so sometimes I'll put a list and I'll say how much it's worth. And then they choose to earn money. But if they want screen time, we'll kind of make like a verbal contract. I'll say, well, I want to do that. And if they clean for me for a certain period of time, like 30 minutes, then that will get 30 minutes. But they can't goof off, and they know that. So if they're like doing it slowly, I'm like, no, you have to do more. But that came through a period of time. So I'll say, I want screen time, Mom. Great. Okay, if you vacuum the living room, you know, and then I've got my list, and I just think of things, and we do need the kitchen swept, and I'll even go read books to your toddler sibling for 15 minutes, or whatever I happen to need at the moment, that will equal 30 minutes of time. Are you willing to take it? And they're like, okay, or not, and then we negotiate. Yes. No. Always have to earn it, sorry.
With extra, not just your basic stuff.
They clean because they are part of our family,
right,
and is expected. And I don't give them allowance because who can keep track of that much allowance? I don't want to run a welfare state, okay? This is, they have to work because you have to work. Yes.
Okay,
so we come home from seminary, we have breakfast, then we move to our devotional, which we read scriptures at because our daddy's gone, so I read scriptures in the morning with them. Then we move to family work time, and then they start their schoolwork. And then at night, we have another devotional, which is shorter, obviously, because we're not reading scriptures. We just meet for a song and a prayer, and then we do some pickup at that time as well. It depends on the child. So I have one high schooler, I have two middle schoolers, and everyone
You're
is...
You're like kid school.
Oh, my kid, great. Okay, my kid's school time, I only do school with my younger kids.
Right.
Everyone 11 and up is doing their own work. And I say that, but I do teach in our co-op, so I am teaching my older kids, but just, you know, not every day. I'm always done by noon, or usually, unless I had an appointment. Then I have to go into the afternoon, but I don't like that. Any other questions? Yes. Florence Littauer, and it's Littauer, I think. Let me look. And her books are older, so you can get them on Amazon, used books. They're only, I don't think the library will have them because they have distinctly Christian content. But you could get it. It's Littauer. There's no H there. She has several different books, one about marriage, one about kids. But I liked her book a lot because she talked in the parent one, she goes over how once you figure out your personality type, how that influences your kids' personalities. And that was really helpful because she goes over your strengths and weaknesses. So for example, if you're a choleric, like how that's going to affect your kids of different types. It was very helpful. Anything else? Again, yes. No, that Child Whisperer was written by Carol Tuttle. And Dr. Leonard Sachs wrote Why Gender Matters. And just as a little hint there is a chapter in there on sex that's a little extreme. Don't hand it to your teenager. Although I did. My teenagers were interested, and I just kind of paperclipped it because that particular child was kind of sensitive. Yes? Carol Tuttle. And I believe her name has an E, doesn't it? Carole. Someone. Yes, okay, it has an E. Anyone else? Yes. Clothes and occasional junk items, or mail, or... They take the whole basket up to their room and bring it back.
Is it attached to the wall?
No, it's like a freestanding, it's one of those cheap black shelves from wherever, you know, Walmart, Target, Costco, and it just, and then I got the little laundry baskets at Walmart. They were $3. I mean, it's a very cheap setup. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's it?
Thank you.
Yay, all right.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.